The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, are we live?
The best show for Chicago sports.
I think we're live.
Can't hear. We think we're live?
I think we're
doing
live.
It live?
We're doing it live.
Doing it live.
Let's do it live.
We need to get that Bill O'Reilly clip. What's up, world?
Hey, listen. We can't play that on here.
We can't. We really
Bill
can't.
Was snapping. You ain't never seen that full clip.
I saw the full clip. I'm just saying. Listen. I do it live. Okay. And then he goes clean into being a nice guy again. Hey, man, listen. It's another episode of the Windy City Breeze Daily Show. It's your boy, P. Kid. Well, I'm hosting today. I don't know what Pat's going to do. Pat's just going to sit there in the corner. Stephon the Don is going to be in the building with me, though. Nah, this is all love, though. But we got a couple things on the table, man. We want to introduce a couple things. Pat hit me with a really interesting topic right before we hit this show. Of course, we had technical difficulties. That's why that CP time is there. 9 o'clock is 9:13 somewhere. Don't worry.
In the NBA, if we're being realistic.
Hey, the one thing I will say about baseball is it starts.
They start right on top.
If it's 9:21, that pitch is flying. All right. Anyway, let's get to it. It's gonna be a football day, y'all. We're gonna talk football today. We're gonna be talking about the NBA for the next, I don't know, to June, pretty much. It's the playoffs. I get more music going. I have more music. I can cut the music.
You want to cut the music? You want to cut the music? Well, you still ain't told him what we're talking about.
We get into it. Listen, Ryan Poles may be trying to put on his Ryan Pace hat by trying to find someone in the late draft. Apparently, there's a project called BJ Wilson that Pat introduced to me today. This guy seems to be a freaking monster, a 6'7" beast of a man. Out in, where is he from? Where's this cat from?
He is out of Quincy. He's out of Quincy. They doing some deep research on the offensive line, which I do like. I do like that.
So, considering the picks that we have late in this draft, what do you see? What have you heard? Should he be on our radar?
I don't know nothing about this dude, bro. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I don't know nothing about this dude. He out of Quincy, bro. Like, the first thing, right, I love that we're looking at Darnell Wright. That's the main guy. That's the main guy that we're really talking about.
Tennessee, right?
Yeah, Darnell Wright, the fact that we've gotten him in here for another look, I love that, right? Like, that's the real story from yesterday. But, bro, like, I don't know nothing about this dude. Like, they brought this man up, BJ Wilson, bro. He is a monster of a man. He's got, like, let me see because I did get a gem of a tool the other day. By the way, hit the like button if y'all haven't done so. Subscribe to the page. We do this all the time. We got a gem of a tool. Let me see if I can find him in here in the Athletics draft breakdown. Cause bro, like I don't. It's like 6'7", 311 with like a 4.10 40 time or something like that. Like what the heck is even that?
Did you say 4.10?
Bro, I gotta find this man.
That's breaking records. That's freakishly fast. What are we talking about?
And that's why receiver time.
Oh, not a 40 time. My bad. Shuttle time. My bad. My bad. I said 40 time. That's what I
was about to say. Who is this?
Hey, dog.
Shuttle time is insane, bro. To get this man started, bro.
Go number one. Like
you talking? I don't care how much of a project he is. 14.
I'm not gonna lie to you though. Every time I see offensive lineman running the 40, I'm like, when is he gonna be 40 yards downfield? Like, when is he? When am I going to need this offensive lineman to run 40 yards? Like, what is the point of him running this 40?
Like, what is the point of you throwing to the ceiling?
Hey, bro, listen. Hey, listen. I got so much smoke for all this love. Man, they got Anthony. They've got Anthony Richardson ranked as the third best quarterback in this draft.
Over Hendon Hooker?
Bro, I am just like.
No. To be clear, but the reason why he's over Hendon is because Hendon tore his ACL.
Yeah, but that don't stop the tape and that.
He's not playing this year.
Yeah, he's not playing.
He's not gonna be available at all for this upcoming.
Yeah, no, not at all.
No, you're taking him very much like, man, who was the receiver last year that came out of college that it wasn't a receiver, it was the linebacker. Who was the linebacker last year that came out of college?
It was a Ravens.
He tore his ACL or something like that.
I think it was N'Kobe Dean. No. N'Kobe Dean had it, and then I think Ojabi went late. I'm not on that. Might have been Dean. It was Dean. Because we kept saying nobody's picking this dude up. Like, what's going on? And then like we found out he had like multiple shoulder surgeries and then just didn't want to. Yeah.
No, there's a guy who tore his ACL or whatever at the actual like combine or whatever.
That was Ojabo.
Ravens, am I right? The Ravens.
Okay, Pete. Okay, can I say it?
I mean, he was there. we all watched it together. I hope he knows a little bit.
It was like, ooh, I remember. I just remember him going down. I was like, God dang, I hope they do right by that boy.
I'm going to be honest with you. There's nothing on this dude. Like, I'm sitting here. I'm really looking through, like, The B.J. Wilson, like, listen, Darnell Wright's a monster of a man. We know what he is. He's probably your third. Steph, would you say he's probably the third best D lineman in this draft? Or, I'm sorry, best tackle in this draft right now? I mean, you're probably going Paris Johnson 1.
Skoronski 2, and then probably
I don't see a lot of people grading Skoronski as a tackle, bro.
I see them grading him as a guard, bro.
I don't see a lot
which
of
people. Which is weird.
Like, I'm seeing Skoronski come up nowhere on tackle breakdowns. I'm seeing him come up on guard breakdowns. But I think a lot of people fully believe he's a guard at the next level.
Yeah. But do you think, but now.
No. I mean, if it is interchangeable, right? Like, you've got a talent. Right, like that's what we hoping Tevin Jenkins is with the Bears making another move.
And that's where I was going, right? Because that makes me think, like, is that why Poles is like, nah, I'm cool on you, not because we don't want you, but like, okay, if I think he can play guard, but Tevin can play guard, you feel me? I'm gonna take Tevin, move him there. And then we can just go get Paris. But I'm gonna tell you this. I'm already starting to put put all the prospects together now because you know we getting closer to the drafts and I'm doing my strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah.
The dude from Quincy, I ain't never even seen him on the list. He's not on my. I'm not even gonna lie to you.
Nobody has this man on the list. I'm deep dives right now. I'm gonna have to go deep into this. Breakdown because say that the right way, don't you? I'm gonna have to go deep into this breakdown because I got nervous, bro. I was like, choose your next words wisely, my boy.
That's about to die.
Hey, kid, did you push one of the buttons on your dig, bro? Your whole voice just changed.
I did not. You know what I know? I think what it is.
This man, whole voice just changed. Kid out here to do. But no, listen, straight to weaknesses of Darnell Wright, Purdy Athletic, which, by the way, if you can pay the dollar for the Athletic, this draft breakdown is amazing. I'm not going to lie to you. This draft breakdown is amazing. Strengths right now, large frame blocker with a, now I do hate this. I do hate this. The entire draft breakdown is a pause when you read these out loud. So prepare yourselves, everybody who's a child in here, including me, Ken, and Ringo. A large frame blocker with a thick torso, a functional mass, raw power courses through his body, competes with patient yet physical mindset, and unleashes controlled violence. When he sees the opportunity, this man is.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean?
Listen. You don't pause your wheel on another man.
Bro, you know what I mean? Like,
bro.
Grow up. Yes. Grow up. He is strikes with a stiff, full extension punch to knock rushers off balance, able to knock down the reach of rushers, and flashes grip strength to snatch. I'm so sick of you, dog. I knew this was going to send him off. This is why I don't read these on the air, bro. This is why I don't read these on the air, dog. His heavy hands allow him to displace defenders, made an impressive jump in performance between his junior and senior season. This is the impressive part about Darnell, right? That really gets me intrigued by him. Makes me feel like the Bears might be able to take an opportunity on him later on in the draft, because I think you could trade down a couple of spaces and get him. Decrease his penalties from 10 in 2021 to only 2 in 2022. One false start, one holding. Has starting experience inside at guard and both left and right tackle. Finished his college career with 34 straight starts. I think there's a couple of reasons why you'd be interested in a player like this outside of just the childish giggling that's happened. Kid, welcome back. How you doing, brother? Mike's still not working? Yes, no, maybe so. I don't know. The reason. Oh, you sound great. You sound phenomenal. The thing for me when I'm looking at him is the fact that he has been so versatile in college. When I look at Darnell Wright, hey, bro, hey, this man, I can't wait to read you the weaknesses. I'm not going to lie. If the straights had you dying laughing like that.
Oh, Lord, here we go.
I can't wait to read you the weaknesses. But, I mean, he finished his college career with 34 straight starts, but he's got inside at both guard positions and both left and right tackles with the question marks the Chicago Bears have here. The reason I'm really looking at a guy like Darnell Wright is – we might need somebody that knows how to play all of these positions. Like, really? I'm big on Paris Johnson. I think after the news yesterday that Tevin's going to be a left guard, you're probably slating him more at your right right tackle position. You're probably keeping Braxton Jones at your left tackle position, and then he'll slide in either at right tackle, which is what he started at in 2022 mm-hmm. for 13 games, or maybe even some right guard in there. But yeah, man, like, I mean, I think that this is going to be a guy the Bears are going to take a deep look at.
Does this put Tevin in his natural position? Or
no, Tevin's natural position was a left tackle.
At least he's on the right. Is he on the right side of the field for him? Okay.
Yes, that is a strength. That is one of the things that I do like about this move. I don't know if I'm... I mean, Braxton Jones, right? Like, he's got to grow. He played well his rookie year. Mm-hmm. But having Tevin on that left side, Tevin was a really, really good left guard. He really was. He was a really good, or I should say right guard. So he's got the technique down, and now you're putting him back on the side with his dominant hand. That does help you. The side that he's always played with that has that strength in it already, you're just taking that guard technique and putting him over there on the left side next to Braxton. I like that. Tevin is going to be standing next to him. Biggest question with Tevin is the same. Is he going to be healthy? That's my only question with him. He came in with a back injury, had a back injury last year. Guess what? These dudes are fat. They strong in a mug, but they're fat. When fat dudes get hurt, you usually don't just all of a sudden get better.
Now, how many games did Tevin play last season?
Now, that's a good question. Tevin...
I got
played you. And actually finished are very different, though.
Ah, that's true.
But because I know he was taken out of, I believe, two games. Tevin Jenkins played 13 games last season, started 11 games. Remember, they didn't play him at the beginning of the season as well because it was like maturity issues or some stupid stuff. I don't know. I don't know what the heck was going on with all of that. He didn't want to listen to his coach, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, if his coach is playing him on the wrong side of the field.
I mean, listen, I'm not mad at you, man. But,
hey,
but
this is the not the spot I'm supposed to be in.
Like, in 2 years,
you know,
which is 34 games, right? 34 games. That's how math works, right? 17 is 17. No, that's not how math works. Yeah, no, that's right. In 34,
you're
right,
17
is 34. Shut up. he's played 19 games.
Okay. All right, so he's played a season and some change.
Yeah, and essentially. And last season, in his time there, he was good. Only two holding penalties, and that was all his penalties all season.
Oh, I like it. I love him. I love him. So now pivoting into this next question, because I keep hearing about this Braxton Jones, and the news don't seem, like the opinion seems to be up and down. Steph, what is your opinion on it?
I mean... Well, Braxton Jones.
On honestly, Braxton or Broderick? Braxton's the one we got.
Braxton's the one we got.
You're talking about
Broderick.
Okay.
I'm talking about Braxton. Broderick, I saw you do the video. We're going to jump into that.
Okay, yeah. Okay, you're talking about Braxton.
He's going to be next to Braxton Jones, but the temperament on it seems to be up and down. Like you say, he has to grow and stuff like that. It's some nice stuff there, and that as far as that's concerned, but it's like, I don't see like anyone saying he's a really good this. Like, what's the news? What's going on with this? Is this a good move to have Tevin right next to him on that left side?
I mean, I echo the sentiments that Pudges did. I mean, he's on his dominant side that he's played. I mean, Braxton, we think Braxton is solid. Not, I wouldn't say great. I feel like they value him a little bit higher than we actually do. But I mean, if you put him, I think basically putting him on the same side as Tevin, because we know Pat just said he played 13 games, started 11. If you put him over there with Tevin, and then probably draft A. Paris or the kid out of Tennessee. This may help him to grow, but it's just a wait and see thing, right now, because you don't really know. Poles legit has to look at all the avenues. So I'm not really mad at it.
I think the reason I asked the question is because you have Tevin over there, who's like you said, 17. He's basically played a season out of the last two.
Yeah, 19 out of 34 games.
Yeah, you know, you got Braxton over there, who you say is this big question mark. Does that leave a lot exposed on that side for Justin, or should he be looking for more veteran help on that side as opposed to going with so many experiments?
Well, I think this is the question that I would ask. Are we, and I even have to ask myself realistically, right, and ask the chat as well. Are we squeamish on Braxton because Braxton didn't develop well? Or are we squeamish on Braxton because we're like, we don't know if Braxton's going to keep Justin Fields upright long enough? Right? Second like, I think that I can't say that Braxton Jones didn't play well. I think he played okay. I think that he had rookie moments. He had moments where he looked like a really good player. He had moments where he was able to make guys that were definitely that we would put above him, better than him, make them look regular. And then he had moments where he absolutely got dominated on that left side, very much like a rookie left tackle would have happened. And so to me, right, like when I'm looking at stuff like that, I'm sitting here with the question mark of more so, am I down on Braxton Jones, or am I down on Braxton Jones in front of Justin Fields right now? I don't think I'm down on Braxton Jones. I think I came into this offseason wanting more of a veteran presence on Justin's backside, on his left side, and we didn't really get that. But now you get Braxton Jones from year one to year two. I give you the numbers. And granted, Tevin, a guy who switched around a lot from year one to year two. But here's the thing. Rookie year, Tevin Jenkins, he had played in six games. He had two games started. He had two holding penalties, three false starts, and what was the penalty they called him for where he got hit, personal. It's not a personal foul. I can't think of it. where because he was standing up for Justin when they hit him out of bounds, and Jermaine Effetti told him not to, right? Like, so he had one of those two. See, he has six penalties his rookie year. The next year, you look at Tevin Jenkins, 13 games, twice the over two times the games, 11 games started, he only had two penalties. Right, so you're seeing a growth from year one to year two. I can't pretend like I don't think we're going to see growth from year one to year two for Braxton Jones. I just think that we got to. It's not the optimal situation. Yeah, it's not what we were expecting.
So would you at least be? So basically, you're pretty much saying, hey, if we had at least one vet over there with him and kept, you know, maybe Tevin on the left side, I mean, right side with another vet, you'd be more comfortable because at least you know there's some veteran presence on both sides of Justin. That's pretty much what you're saying.
I think here's the thing. At this point, you're not going to have veteran presence on either side of Justin. You're going to have Braxton. Braxton's a vet, right? Tevin's a vet, like, but they not.
I mean, technically vets. They're vets. But that's not
good. You know what I mean? Like, they're 2-3 years in, but they not vets. Because they haven't had that time to really sit there and acclimate to it. So to me, right, like I look at what Justin Fields is in, and is this an offensive line that's going to be able to grow with him? 100%. This is an offensive line that's going to be able to come up with him and develop along with him? 100%. And that's the hope that you have there. That is the way you want to build it. The scary part is you got to keep Justin alive long enough to develop. And it's a lot of question marks out there. And I think the part that scares you the most is on the other side, you know there's a lot of good players. You know that you're going to have premier defensive linemen coming through on the other side, even in your own division, right? Like, is Tevin stopping Aiden Hutchinson if he's on that left side? You know what I mean? Like, those are the questions. And I think actually Tevin did do a good job. I think he switched to the right side a couple of times in their game. Tevin actually did a good job. But, right, like, those are the questions that you still have.
I think now that we've have, you know, better receiving core, things of that nature, he'll be fine. I think he'll be fine. I'm being optimistic here because I know I've walked into this and I've heard the chat kill me for it. It seems like I'm hating on the Bears. It's like, no, I just see a lot of places we need to develop. And I'm just not going to sit there and say, oh, we can, you know, take over the North. We're kings of the North. Like, I don't see that. I don't see that
now. Y'all don't stop bringing up Doug Kramer, by the way, bro, like Muskie saying, hey, bro, we still got Doug. Exactly. We still got Doug Kramer, too. Just because you get drafted don't mean you're going to play.
Hey, buddy, is that guy from Seinfeld? Who are we talking about now?
he's another lineman we took very late. I believe he's out of Illinois. Listen, it's a cool story.
He plays for Illinois.
It's a cool story.
Hey, so we go ship off Kramer. We go to Broderick because you did make a fire video about it. I had no idea who Buddy was. You know, mind you, this is my second sport, so I'm learning a lot through you all, right?
Yeah.
Broderick comes on the scene. You made a video about him. Expound a little bit about that, man. Talk about what you saw, why you're big on it. What does the report about him say? I want to hear the pause worthy moment.
Let me pull up Broderick Jones report, bro. Hey, bro,
I want to see the pause worthy moments. We got to,
bro. I just,
mind you, these are not Pat's words.
The Athletic. Great. Okay. I will say this. If you cannot be a child and get through it, great breakdown. But I'm a child, so I laugh every time I read some of this stuff out loud. This is very much like what I was talking about with him in the video. Strengths right now, basketball athleticism with above average movement skills, loose hipped and agile footed, utilizes knee bend in his kick style, displays violent quick strikes with hands with a recoil to land multiple blows and knock away to reach the rusher. Able to rework himself and sit down versus long arm defenders, patient and aware versus stunts and counters. Hey, this one ain't that bad. I'm not gonna lie to you. The other one was bad. Yeah. Excellent snap quickness in the run game, quick and agile, able to get out of the seal. That was a little close. At his best, using mobility on the outside or in the gap, always looking for work. And plays with a competitive demeanor required in the pro game. Zero holding penalties in his UGA career. Only one false start. Kept the penalties low. Started off 15 games in 2022. Finished the third season and finished third on the team behind Stenson Bennett and Cedric Van Praan in total snaps. So he was out there. He was healthy. Those are things that you love about him. The one thing that I loved about this guy was the athleticism. I mean, like, mm-hmm. when you talk about a guy getting out of the snap position, getting up and being ready to go, being able to attack. I mean, like, he was moving with the speed that you need to be a guard, right? He was moving with the hand speed that you need from a guard. Long arms. I mean, he was punching the mess out of people too. Like, he was like, hey, you gotta take this with you. Like, I'd have had to fight him after. Like, that's literally how he was swinging on Muzz when I was breaking down his tape, bro. Like, it was impressive though. But I think the thing is, right, it's like they say, when they bring out the violence, right? I like a guy that has that violence in his attack coming out of the snap, instantly coming up, throwing a jab, getting guys off base, all of that stuff. But the thing is, how do you control it after that? Thing I loved about Broderick Jones was the fact that he had so much control of the defenders. Defenders weren't able to do what they wanted to do with him. I mean, like, he was literally moving guys completely out of the play. There were times where he had to be the lead blocker coming from the left side all the way to the right side to get ahead of guys. Dominant control, had guys going where he wanted them to, able to redirect them. I thought that he just, I mean, listen, I would... If he wasn't only a left tackle and I didn't believe that they just loved Braxton Jones, I would take him over everything. He's only played left tackle mm-hmm. in his 2 years in college. I would put him over everything, right? Like, that's the only thing to me. I think he's going to be a premier left tackle for 10, 12 years. Like, I really do. I love his game. The only weakness that I've seen in his game was in a scheme that we run in the zone, but it's because Georgia don't run it. So, like, he wasn't good in the zone run game. He wasn't good in a zone blocking scheme, but there wasn't a ton of plays to go off of either. If I don't do something a ton, I might not be the best at it. But in a zone, you basically just getting your body in the way. And he would be late in those moments. But I don't think that would be an issue.
Where they have him slated again?
Well, Broderick Jones might go. I mean, like, if he don't go ninth to us, if we don't take Paris Johnson, he'll go ninth. Like, he's gonna be a top 10 pick possibly.
I think that's a mistake. I'm biased, but I think that's a mistake. I mean, it is.
I mean, the only thing that
I think we'll take Paris Johnson over Broderick Jones because of Paris Johnson has played right guard. He's been on the right side of the football, right? He's done those things before. And you want a guy that can play on that has the experience there. That's why I'm so intrigued by Darnell Wright, right? Darnell Wright might be the same thing. You might be able to get that guy end of the first. Mm. So you might be able to get more draft capital. There is rumors of, I believe I saw who did I see? Was it the Seahawks? I got to look now. There are rumors somebody's trying to trade up. Somebody was trying to trade up.
The Ravens may actually be trading up, which is actually going to be a good segue for the next part of this. Steph, you had something to say before we do.
I was just going to say that the only thing that would give me cause to pause is exactly what Pat said about the positions, because I don't want him to come in and play a position that he never played before, because you're relearning. And I'm like I said before, and I'm going to keep saying it again, Justin was second in quarterback hits. Me personally, I need some experience back there. So I'm still taking Paris there at nine, but I get the intrigue.
Gotcha.
I get the intrigue. Gotcha.
Now, the Ravens are one of the teams that are actually in the mix to trade up. There's a whole lot going on over there in Baltimore. We're going to segue into some more, not just Chicago, but more just national sports here. Ravens being one of those teams that may trade up. One of the teams that actually, I think, I've seen some people flirt with this idea. This only just rumors at this point. All right. No one really knows. But if we trade back, they may be one of the teams. They're really trying to see if they can position themselves to get a QB within a top 10 in case this Lamar things go south. But they did make some moves to keep Lamar in-house, supposedly. OBJ gets the bag. I mean, big bag for somebody who's just coming off an injury that he did. I wish I could get injured and make that type of money. That's crazy. Reportedly, fit an 18. Let me get this right. It's a 1-year deal. It's worth up to $18 million.
Yep.
13.8 in a signing bonus, which means the moment he signed, he gets this cash.
Yep.
His base salary is about one. Let's just say 1.2. It's 1.165. Let's just say 1.2. Simple math. Base salary and $3 million in incentives. I gotta ask you, did they overpay for OBJ?
Yep.
Nah. I don't think they overpaid for OBJ because you're just literally, listen, you got to pay somebody, right? And clearly they don't want to pay real wide receivers. They just want the narrative off their back. We didn't give Lamar wide receivers. So you went out and got him the one right wide receiver that couldn't pass a physical last season, and all of a sudden he's just going to be 100% healthy coming into this season. Like,
real
that,
quick, by the way.
That really changes the narrative. So to me, like, you paid to get the monkey off your back. You know what I mean? Like, you paid to get that narrative of we didn't give him wide receivers off of your back. You didn't change nothing. Lamar Jackson's still going to leave next season. He's still going to go out there and get the bag next season, right? Like, nothing changed in this scenario. I'm going to be honest with you. I think that's why the Ravens could be a team like you were talking about trading up, because they might need to try and go get another quarterback because you better be prepared for Lamar to leave when the best you gave him is coming back off of an ACL OBJ for $18 million.
Now, I go to Steph. You said you was about to say something.
Yeah, I was gonna say the crazy part is he was asking for OBJ for 3 years, even before this man even went to the Rams to get a Super Bowl, but now you get him after the man tears ACL. Like this is the crazy part. They act like this is a step in the right direction. I mean, so now you really gotta look at it like, okay, now we went and got OBJ, who, like Pat said, he failed 3 physicals before this. Your other 2 wide receivers ain't really that healthy. So it's like, what did you do really? Like this right now, this right now really isn't a move to me. And really, I think in OBJ's case, he's looking at it like, yo, I'm 30. I come in, I ball with whoever this quarterback is, get my value up. Next year, I had the open market again. Another one year deal. Maybe a 2-year deal. So, I mean, I think they overpay, especially $18 million for somebody who failed 3 physicals. I don't love it, but it's OBJ. I hope he goes out and balls. But I mean, this really don't do much because he's still from the league.
Yeah. I do want to curb it with this though. OBJ is someone that they got simply because it seems as if Lamar requested it. After signing him and Lamar was out partying, they reported it's all over Twitter and stuff like that. So that the evidence is there that, hey, this is definitely a sign that is like an olive branch for Lamar Jackson. Do we still feel the same way if they went and got somebody who he absolutely wanted, even at this point? Like, if this is who Lamar wanted and they got him, do we still feel the same way? Because now it's on Lamar to make it work.
This is the thing, right? Like, if I play in Chicago and you play in Miami, but you my boy and we talk all the time, and all of a sudden I find out my boy is going to be playing in Chicago, I'm going to be excited. That don't mean you the best player. That just mean you my boy. Right. Listen, that don't mean you the best option there. That just mean you my boy. I got my homie coming through. Hey, you at the crib. We partying on weekends. You in here. We chilling. Right. My homie's back. My brother here. That don't mean that you were the best option at wide receiver out here.
Well, let me ask you that. Was he the best option? No. Was he a top 5 option at wide receiver?
No. He was the top 5 option left. They let all the good options go.
I'm going to keep it a bean.
But that's because they let all the other options get signed already.
like who, though? Let's be honest. There's not a lot of receivers that have been outspoken about playing with Lamar. Like, I haven't seen the evidence.
There are a lot of receivers that wanted to play with Lamar and then got traded to other teams. Like D-Hop wanted to play with Lamar and then ended up getting traded to Arizona. That's a name you go after. And that, this is what I will say.
AB went crazy.
That's a little different. We're gonna move past that. Here's what I will say, right? We need to shift. I said shift. Where we're putting the shift. We need to shift where we put our ire on quarterbacks that are labeled running quarterbacks. Because if you notice around the NFL, more times than not, if you're a pocket passer, what do? Hey, we got to get this guy an O-line. We got to get him some weapons to go to. We got to make this guy, make his life easier because he doesn't have the ability to make his own life easier.
Okay.
And yet with guys that we label running quarterbacks, and Lamar Jackson is a running quarterback. I think he's a run first quarterback a lot of times by necessity, but he is a running quarterback. If we're going to not do those same things for those quarterbacks because they have an ability to make themselves still look great without, now we need to turn our attention to the organizations and say, well, why aren't you doing more for him? Why aren't you building it, right? Like, it doesn't change the fact that he still needs an offensive line of weapons to throw to just because he can run the football. And I'll give you case in point. Deshaun Watson, as much as he hated it, needed Laremy Tunsil on his team. He had tight ends blocking for him. Mm-hmm. His GM, head coach at the time, I believe it was Bill O'Brien, went out, got him Laremy Tunsil, best left tackle in the NFL. All of a sudden, they're in the AFC Championship the next season. Invested in his quarterback. The Philadelphia Eagles invested in Jalen Hurts, who was labeled a running quarterback. Wide receivers out the wazoo. Offensive line, running game. They're in the Super Bowl. Invested in their quarterback. Ryan Poles seems like he's trying to do that this season, going out, getting wide receivers, adding, I don't know, Nate Davis, nice piece. I don't know if he's going to be the end-all, be-all out there, but adding an offensive lineman, probably going offensive line in this draft, trying to invest in his quarterback. We always want to go and look at the running quarterback and say, I love the statement, they don't win. They never win in this league. You can't win championships with a running quarterback. Yeah, because teams don't want to invest the capital in a running quarterback because they feel like, oh, he can do it though. I ain't got to invest in him. He can make that play without three wide receivers on his team. You want to know what makes Lamar's legs even more dangerous? If he also got two passing options. So that it's like, hey, when I run this play action fake, I might actually throw the football.
Does that? I mean, I hear exactly what you're saying, but history would kind of disagree with you. And I think that's the one thing that, like, you're really big on. History has agreed with you on running backs. You never pay a running back.
Yep.
History would kind of disagree with you when it comes to, teams not having, invested in running QBs and running QBs actually having.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Long careers. In fact, the two main running QBs that we know, especially from our community, all have very disastrous ends to their career, or very subpar. Like Cam is going out bad, so I'm gonna call that disastrous. Cam is going out bad.
But again, Cam's a great example. Who's Cam? Bruh, who's on Cam's offense?
Let me. I'm gonna just say
Cam this. Is a great example. Who's on Cam's offense?
I mean, nobody right now because he ain't on the team.
No, I'm saying Super Bowl year.
At the time, you had Greg Golson. I think it was Greg Golson, Steve Smith, Christian McCaffrey.
Steve Smith's not on that Super Bowl team.
I think Christian McCaffrey was back there rookie year.
So a running back and a wideout.
He didn't. He didn't have a line. He had no line.
The rest of the time after the Super Bowl, it was the same roster, running back.
He didn't get no help.
until finally Cam was broken because he kept having to run in touchdowns at the one.
Yeah. the thing about it is the same thing that I've been saying.
Steve Smith was on that team.
Steve Smith was on that Super Bowl team?
Yeah, I know
I wasn't tripping.
He might have had some help though. I'm looking at this one. He had a little.
He had a line. That was older Steve Smith.
Well, older Steve Smith was still good. Was that when he came back though? Didn't he go back to the Panthers?
Yeah, I think he came back to the Panthers. That's after the Ravens, right?
That's after the Ravens.
Is it?
Or is that before he went to the Ravens?
I think it's before. It is before. Because he tore it.
He still was a dog.
I think the biggest thing is this, and it's something that I've been saying since me and Kia had that had the conversation about Lamar. You can't get these dual threat quarterbacks, and then not. Invest in him and nah, then come bro. Back and Super, say,
go ahead. Nah, go ahead. Super Bowl, yeah, he wasn't there. Ted Ginn was there. His best wide receiver was Ted Ginn. I knew I wasn't tweaking. His number one wide receiver was a 5'11", 180-pound guy.
Yeah. Ted Ginn, Greg Golson, and Christian McCaffrey was
But then look at what the narrative on him is, though.
I don't even think Christian McCaffrey was there, my boy.
I don't think Christian McCaffrey wasn't on that team either.
No.
Man.
Here's the thing. They just kept running that back. The team didn't get better from there.
Yeah. I'm going to show you what I was looking at because something said that Steve Smith was there. I was like, no.
Yeah.
It said 2013. I was like, they weren't in the Super Bowl in 2013. It's 2015.
No, they were in the Super Bowl 2015. That's what I thought. He wasn't a part of that team. He ended up leaving and going to the Ravens. He was on the Ravens. And I believe in 2014, 2015, came back, had like a 1,000-yard season, I think he tore his ACL again and ended up dipping. But
he played 3 seasons with them to end his career. He ended his career Raven.
He did. But that is the conversation, right? Like and think about it, right? The other quarterback you were going to name was going to be Mike Vick, right?
Yeah. Mike Vick for sure.
And guess what?
The team in Philly
invested in
them.
Exactly.
And where did they go?
The NFC title game. They went to the playoffs.
NFC title game.
Yeah, the problem with it is the fact that we got to stop saying, he don't got no help, this, and this. You not investing, and then coming back and say, well, Cam's just a runner. Lamar's just a runner. Justin is just a runner.
Yeah.
Who's he throwing to?
We're not looking at the reason they're running.
I mean, let's be honest.
And it's pretty much out of necessity, because if I'm looking at it, the running back on that Carolina team, which I just mentioned, was him. Like,
I'm gonna put
my head down and go crazy.
There's a difference between an organization that caters themselves to what you do best versus not investing in you. One of the things that I don't believe, and Patrick Mahomes kind of really showed this. Like, I mean, he did have his number one in Kelce. I'm not going to sit there and dismiss that. But you look at the others on that team. Like, some of those others on that team were afterthoughts that had big roles to help them get to the finish line, right? And it's because he put them in position. You look at Tom Brady. Tom Brady, outside of Moss. Let's say Moss, but Gronk was a project. Like, the story of Gronk was him being a project. They not really know if it was going to work out. He made them who they are outside of Moss. We ain't talking about the 50 touchdown, whatever season, right? But you look at some of Brady's star receivers, it was people who you wouldn't recognize on the street. Like, it's people who don't even get mentioned right now when it comes to like really good receivers who've won. Sometimes this receiver core don't even get mentioned, right? But it's a difference between having a QB that you cater around to his skill set and then saying he has no help. Sometimes that help has to develop and you have to be a part of that. Like, but your QB has to be a part of doing that part. Let's be for real.
But investment don't always mean weapons. And then I can make a receiver look good if I got time to get the ball to a receiver. Right, like investment in Tom Brady was the offensive line. Tom Brady always had a top three offensive line in the NFL because they knew this boy can't move.
With at least two tight ends.
You know what I mean? With at least two tight ends on the end. They ran a twin tight end set with literally a top five offensive line next to him. So if he want to go seven blockers, this man got an opportunity to do that. When I look at guys like Patrick Mahomes wins the Super Bowl this year. Yeah, some of the names that we talk about are nobodies that he's throwing to, 100%. Travis Kelce, of course, is a great name. But what did they look at? They looked at the last time he was in the Super Bowl and said, hey, man, that man ran 500 yards the wrong direction. Like, mm-hmm. I think it's legit 500 yards the wrong direction. Well, let's go get him some tackles. They went out, they get him Orlando Brown, they get him a couple of the best tackles in the NFL, put him on the outside. Now Pat Mahomes has time to make decisions. Guess what? I could turn Juju Smith-Schuster into a viable weapon if I got 4 seconds back there. I can't turn him into a viable weapon with 2.5. So I think, right, like, even when you talk about Lamar, even when you talk about, like, Justin, right, like, give me an investment somewhere. Don't just, like, the OBJ move to me just feels like we're trying to say that we gave you a wide receiver and you still didn't prove that you could play with him. Like, that's what the OBJ move feels like to me. We gave you the piece you wanted, even though it's 3 years later than you wanted him, even though he's torn his ACL twice since you wanted him initially, and he was very vocal about wanting to play with you, mm-hmm. and we let him go to Baker Mayfield. But now you got him. It's all you. Right? Like, I just think that, right, like, history has shown us this, and you said, I like when history's on my side. History has shown us when you invest in these running quarterbacks, they can play. They get to, now, they may not win the Super Bowl, right? But they get to the championship games. And Deshaun Watson, been in an AFC championship when he had an offensive line and weapons. Jalen Hurts now, been in a Super Bowl, lost to arguably what we could be calling at some point the greatest quarterback of all time. He's quickly heading in that direction, right? Josh Allen. We always think, right, the black quarterbacks, but Josh Allen literally turned into a different dude the year that they was just like, hey, man, why don't we give him some wide receivers and offensive line? That's a crazy thought. Who's this guy? Get him a job. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I feel like with mobile quarterbacks, we go more on the, right, like even with Justin Fields, I feel like the Bears have done a good enough job for us to judge him this season. The job shouldn't be done. But I do feel like the Bears have given him weapons, giving him a little bit more protection. They're going to draft some protection. That protection is going to have to develop. That's not the route I would have wanted to go. I said go get Orlando Brown Jr., pay a bunch of money. But you're investing in your quarterback. And guess what? This season, with when he was behind a line that had allowed 55 sacks, and he was a part of that as well, we still talk about one-score games where Justin Fields is driving down at the end of the game and his receivers just can't make a catch. This year, that shouldn't be the case. We should get two or three or four more of those one-score games. That could change an entire season.
So when is it on the player? So, like, now let's look at Lamar's situation. When is it on the player? Because you look at what Lamar is asking for, the type of money he's asking for, the type of cap hit that's going to have for them to even get those type of investments around him. Like, the one thing I want people to understand is, and I follow the money when it comes to NFL. That's one of the first things I wanted to understand. How the heck does this money work, right? And if they were to pay Lamar what he wants, and it's been widely reported by several reputable sources, he wants to break the Deshaun Watson contract. That's at this point, he can deny it all he wants to, but from all these little weird incidents, that's what's being reported. He wants to break that. He thinks he deserves that. He's standing on that. It's something that he's standing on. Cool. That hinders your team from signing. I want people to understand this. Patrick Mahomes got a $500 million contract. He didn't get a whole lot of guaranteed. He could have. He didn't. He's also restructured his contract to be able to get on talent. Deshaun Watson has restructured his very contract for them to be able to sign the people they've recently signed. No one talks about that. Like, his cap hit went from, like, what, $50 million this season to the minimum of $17 for the way his contract. That's a lot of room to go get talent, right? Lamar Jackson's in a situation where we're having this conversation. Oh, you don't want to invest this, that, and the other. But now you're asking for a contract that may not allow me to invest in you.
I think the question comes in here. And I'm not going to act like I know the Ravens roster up and down. But who else is making real bread on there? Roquan's
making bread.
Marlon Humphrey.
That's two.
I think the one report says the contract that he was reported trying to get, his cap hit would be like $60 million this season. Now, Deshaun Watson does have a contract that will give you that same cap hit.
It's just kicked 2 years from now.
It's down the road. They kicked that can. You do that with Lamar, that money is due. 80% of what he's asking for is due immediately.
I don't think my issue isn't that. Listen, I don't agree with how Lamar has done some of the contract negotiation. I think, listen, I'm one of those people that I believe you need an agent. Shout out to all the people who get the bread without an agent. But I think that at least most of the athletes I know have very fragile egos. When somebody's sitting across from a table looking you or your mama in the face and they just like, hey, bro, I hate to tell you this, but you ain't Pat Mahomes. You ain't this. This is what you don't do. Like, that's their job in these meetings. It's just like, and let me tell you why you suck. Hey, we love you. Let me tell you why you suck. Right?
Like, tell you why you're not getting this $250.
I don't. Right. You know what I mean? So I don't think that. I don't agree with everything Lamar has done in the process of sitting here trying to negotiate this contract. What I do think that he has a case on is that when he was on a no money deal, y'all just rolled that out. Like that was the time. That's the time where you go out and you get your pieces. Very much. This is why I love what Ryan Poles is doing here. And Ryan Poles had to kind of jumpstart this because he got in here a year after Justin's first year. So that's why I love, this is the time for you to invest. I don't have to pay Justin yet. I don't have to pay Justin next year. I got to pay Justin after next year. Now, Justin may hold out. Different things like that may come into play where he wants his bread. I bet that depends on how you play this season. But realistically, I don't have to pay Justin for this year or next year. So now's the time to invest in the team around him. Because guess what? Even if he gets pissed off and wants to up and leave, I paid the team. I got an offensive line. I got a tight end. I got wide receiver weapons. Who want to come play? That gives the team the leverage. Right now, the Ravens don't have a foot to stand on. And they think they got a foot back with saying, we got you OBJ. That's the one thing. The one thing I don't like is the fact that Lamar shouldn't have dropped the video. Because I think you just messed yourself up. Because now the narrative's going to be, well, you wanted him.
You wanted him.
This is what you got.
Yeah.
But I agree with that. But the other side of that is like, we know OBJ failed them three physical. Like you could say that, but you don't be slick.
I'm not going to let him LeBron James' way out of this one, dog.
I don't think it's about LeBron in it. Like we know OBJ failed them three physicals. I've been asking for him for 3 years. You did not try to even go out and get him at all.
How do we know they didn't?
They didn't put a real bid in on him because the Giants gave him up for nothing.
Like
the Giants gave him up for what? What they end up giving him up for? Like a third round pick and like some cash considerations or something like that? It was like, I will send you three footballs somewhat deflated just in case Tom Brady wanted to come to New York.
Hey, I want to go back and revisit that because like the team has to deal him. Like he was dealt. It ain't like he was a free agent.
The Giants gave him up for sure.
Even with Cleveland though, like you coming out of that.
I'm trying to see what they ended up trading him for.
It's not like he ain't been asking for dudes, and then now you trying to finesse that. Well, you wanted him. Like we know.
Dang,
you
I forgot they sent them Oliver Vernon too. They was just giving up on Mugs. They got like, back right guard. Oh, no, they gave up a package for these mugs. I ain't going to lie. They gave up right guard Kevin Zipfler, safety Jabril Peppers. Ah, that's okay. Yeah. how's that working for you, my boy?
Nah, that was okay.
Cleveland's 2019 first round pick, 17th overall, and 2019 third round pick, 95th overall. Yeah, that's a nice little package. I ain't going to lie to you.
I mean, they...
I look at it in the aspects of are you really putting into and this is like, right, like I saw some people like, why are we talking about Lamar on a Bears channel? First off, we're talking everything in this mug. It's not just the Bears channel. Second off, because we're going to be in this situation quickly. Now I don't know if Justin Fields has an agent. I don't think Justin's going to go down this same path as Lamar Jackson has gone down. But Justin Fields legitimately, right, like, is going to be in a situation here. And the way that the Bears have built this out, I feel better about what we're going to be in. I hope Justin Fields turns into our franchise quarterback. I legitimately believe that he has the talent to turn into our franchise quarterback. I think you have to invest in that guy. And I love that they're actually investing in that guy. I think that that's the difference in what we're seeing here in Chicago and what we've seen around the league. Let's be real. First off, we need to stop the narrative of running quarterbacks because everybody runs. Hey, listen, if you're not getting...
Everybody is
there anybody in the draft right now that's not coming out that's not going to be... that wouldn't be labeled per what the labels have been a running quarterback?
Time out. There's a difference between a mobile QB or a QB that uses his legs versus a QB who has nearly 30% of all his yards in total gained running. The man has more yards than some running backs that have been drafted at start.
The difference is
what Lamar does with his legs versus the next running QB is
I hear you. You don't want to know what the difference is? Pat Mahomes don't got to run no more. Pat Mahomes' rushing yards got a lot higher when he had to run. You know what I mean? Like, if I don't have to run, why am I running?
Isaiah Pacheco is really good.
Justin Fields is being labeled a running quarterback right now. This is the first time he's ever been labeled that. Justin Fields always threw the ball. He's always been a passer. He had to run. When I'm getting hit 55 times, I ain't got no options. Hey, somebody who died, Sam Mustipher, he's in the middle. He's the center. he didn't do nothing but snap the ball, butt fumble it, and then fall over. Like I think that's the part to me, right? Like, I'll tell you this. Jalen Hurts was a running quarterback.
Absolutely.
In Philly, Jalen Hurts was a running quarterback.
Don't say was. There was a lot of designed runs in that.
Designed runs is different. He also was slinging that thing. Come on, kid. Designed runs is different, though, right? Designed runs means I have a design that my offensive line is still going to protect my quarterback, and my wide receivers are going to get in, and my tight ends are going to get in. Everybody on this play is protecting my quarterback. Absolutely. Versus, why are you running? Three dudes fell down on the left side. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, but in Jalen Hurts' case, his first 2 years at Bama, he was a running quarterback. Nick Saban knew he could only go as far. That's the reason why he started Tua in that championship game, because Jalen didn't have it. Tua took over. We know what happened with that.
Jalen became the better quarterback. That's what happened with that.
He finally got
Nick got it wrong. Yeah, I'm not just playing. Nah, he goes not to, really. 2-1. 2-1. Yeah, so he ain't getting it wrong.
Not 2-1 that game. He goes to Oklahoma, finally gets with Lincoln Riley, and Lincoln Riley's like, oh, you could pass. Yeah. So after that, he gets into the league and it took Philly a little minute. They already had the O-line. But it was like, okay, we're gonna give him Smitty, but we need somebody to go opposite that, because even when they had Smitty, that year they went 8-8 and made a playoff game. They played the Bucks. So the investment was made early, like Pat said. So the only thing in the Ravens case that I would say, even if you don't want to pay him that money, good luck finding a franchise QB, because you ain't winning with Snoop Hunt. Like, you.
They would have to move up. I think they got to trade up this year.
With Lamar Jackson.
You're going to win too much. You're going to win too much.
25 a game when he's in the lineup. And when you got Snoop Huntley, they barely over 10 points.
I'm all for, this conversation and invest in him. It's just a big difference. Jalen, when did Jalen Hurts get his weapons? This last season? The season before, what weapons did Jalen Hurts have?
Dallas Goedert, Devontae Smith, Miles Sanders. He had weapons.
Still had weapons.
But they went out and got him the primetime guy now.
Okay.
Like that. Okay. Yeah.
He had the thing is he had this is my thing with weapons, right? I look at it like how the Bears built it. We had Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson was a good wide receiver. He was a really good wide receiver.
He was.
Yeah, who's nice our next best wide out?
Darnell Mooney?
They didn't care. Right? Like if I take him away, Darnell Mooney not gonna beat me.
Okay.
You have to have that guy that, okay, I got this guy, but then I also got this guy. And that's the thing about Tom Brady and Pat Mahomes that they always had, right? Like, yeah, his go-to guy was Wes Welker, right? Wes Welker for Brady. But Gronk was the dude I'm scared of. And Gronk taking three people with him because he's huge. So he's coming through the middle and like, we got to cover Gronk. Wes Welker underneath just like, hey, let me get that, my boy. Yeah, I mean, like those, you have to have that next guy for you to really be that threat. Philly went out and they got legitimately three guys on their team that all can catch the football. And you got to worry about Jalen Hurts running. Now I don't know how to defend you. Now I can do the best I can. Somebody's probably going to be pretty good. Joe Burrow coming in had two wide receivers. Joe Burrow drafted day one, no offensive line, but had two wide receivers day one and a tight end.
I think I would have picked the line first.
Y'all know how I feel about that. I think I would have picked the line first.
Well, I mean, Chase Young showed you the third game. But absolutely blew him up.
But Jamar Chase, right? Will you go out and get Jamar Chase? Now I got three. But here's the thing. While I don't agree with building my team that way, you don't agree with building a team that way. What it does is I can't just blitz you all day, right? If you got no line, I'm going to blitz you. But if you got three weapons, you can get the ball out too quick. I can't just send my guys because now I got to worry about Chase over the top. I can blitz you. And you literally, there's plays this season where the team is blitzed. And Joe Burrow said, they said, what was the game plan? Jamar down there somewhere. You know what I mean? So I think that's the thing to me, right? Like, investment to me is, I mean, like, for the Ravens, that's a whole different situation. Start somewhere. But I think for a lot of these quarterbacks, when we talk about running style quarterbacks that are coming into the NFL, what are the things they have to do versus the things that you're making a luxury? We've already said, it don't matter to me, unless it's Anthony Richardson, maybe. But whoever goes to the Colts is going to be in a good situation. They got a running game. They got receivers. They got a little semblance of an offensive line. They're going to be okay.
It's nice. They're going to be incubated.
They got defense. I don't know about the defensive players there. They seem like they're trying to get rid of them. They're trying to get rid of everybody on that defense. I don't know what's going on with that. But right, like they're doing a reset. They're going through a whole new coach, getting a whole new quarterback in there. But it's players there. Somebody's coming into a situation that's good. Who's going to Houston? That poor bastard.
That poor man. Why did he have to
Carolina too, man? Carolina's out there too, man. No,
Carolina actually went and got some nice weapons. You at least coming in. You got Adam Thielen there, right? Like you
oh, yeah,
I mean,
true. I
your offensive line is bad.
Thielen.
Your offensive line is bad. But
yeah, I forgot about Thielen though.
But right, like you better be able to run. That's probably why they're going Bryce Young. Bryce Young, a little mobile.
So to wrap this up in a nice little bow, though. We've been talking heavy about investments, talking about running QBs, things of that nature. All the things that we've been labeled, all the things we've said we needed to do in Chicago.
Yep.
Have we, if nothing else changes outside of, let's say we pick, let's just throw a name out there. Number nine, you pick whoever you want to put right there. Has Pose done it? For Justin, has he done it? Let's just say this is the best you get right now.
This is the best going into this season.
Going into the season,
he helped Justin. He helped Justin. Your starting wide receiver core last year was Darnell Mooney, Byron Pringle, and N'Keal Harry, and N'Keal Harry got hurt. Your starting wide receiver core coming into this year is Cole Kmet, who's now developed a little bit more. Cole Kmet was a part of that last year. Cole Kmet was a part of that last year.
He went to tight end U this time.
Hey, man, he got a 4-year degree at tight end U. Don't he? That man went to tight end U every year in his career.
He actually went to tight end U.
But you got Cole Kmet, who Justin has built a nice rapport with. Possibly Darnell Mooney coming back in that situation. You got Chase Claypool. You got DJ Moore. And you can go add this wide receiver. I'm looking at the wide receiver names on here. Hey, it's a couple of dudes, man. Listen, like they are some 50-50 ball gods out here in this. There's not a lot of great footwork. Jaden Reed got great footwork and good hands, but not a lot of great footwork in this draft. But what I will say is this. I think that the Chicago Bears have done enough for us to say, all right, Justin, can you help us get a little bit more this season? I think they're still going to add in the draft. I'm just not a person that I say, right, we drafted Paris Johnson. That's a lock. I don't know. Paris Johnson might turn his ankle the first day of practice. Then what? Right, like I don't go into like the rookie situation and be like, he's a guaranteed stud, especially on the offensive line. So for me, I'm looking at the team you currently have. Is it great? Offensive line is still an absolute question mark. But thank God we don't got Kirk Cousins back there. All right, like you can move around. He can be a little bit more mobile, which means he'll be able to find those weapons with a little bit more ease.
Now, what do you have to see this year for you to sit there and start having those extension conversations with Justin? The reason I'm asking is because this is when that needs to happen. Like, this is where the Ravens butchered it to me. And this is also where Lamar butchered it. If you have an agent worth his weight in gold, by the time you're entering that fourth year, this contract's already done.
Yeah. And that's the problem. He had gotten
MVP by that point already, though.
Well, the thing is, that's the problem with how Lamar's doing this. How you going to negotiate your contract while you're playing? You can't. You can't sit there and be in meeting rooms trying to prepare for the game and also be in meeting rooms trying to get your deal done. You can't. Lamar Jackson can't go to the owners meetings. Lamar Jackson can't go, right? Like he's trying to prep for a season right now. So like that's to me where he fumbled the bag. I do agree with you that here's the thing. If the Bears want to get a deal or a discount and Justin is willing to give them that discount, now's the time you negotiate that going after this season, because you'll be able to get less money than if he goes out and has like a Super Bowl year. But granted, if he has a Super Bowl year, who cares? Write him a blank check. Let him
stop.
You know what I mean? Like, hey man, this check is for you. You fill in as many zeros you can. We've never had one.
It's just been since 84. I mean, come on now. The whole goal is to get it before Virginia passes. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, my Lord. Yo.
No, that's facts, though.
Okay.
Am I wrong?
This time is facts.
So this time good. It's right. Yeah, you've been wild with it. You bring a lot of depth to the show, bro. You bring a lot of depth to the show, bro. I'm gonna be real with you though. I like what the Bears have done to start this off. You gotta hit on your draft capital. That's where you're gonna make your money, right? Like there's no question about it. If the Bears select ninth, he gotta hit. He gotta be good. He can't just be a role player, right? Your second round pick got to be good. Your third round pick got to be good. Now, you're not going to hit on all of those, right? But like, you need to be hitting 2 out of 3 in this year, because you're not going to get, I mean, we got what? We got one first round pick. We got 2 second round picks, 2 third round picks, I believe. I think we got 1 third round pick, 2 fourth round picks, right? Like, you got capital. These next 2 years are going to be the most important years for the Chicago Bears over the next 10 years. Because if you mess these two up, it's going to be a long time for the Bears are good again.
Long time. Yeah. Hey, man, I think this is well covered, man. This is a nice football show.
I loved it, man. Nice, I loved
football.
It.
This is a show that Pat's been wanting to do. Pat's so ready for this draft. Y'all have no idea. Steph is so ready for this draft. I'm sitting here like, yo, I just hope he does well. Because you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to smoke him if he don't.
I mean, we're not going to know. I tell you what.
We going to know. You know what's going to happen? He's going to pick that dude that don't nobody know. We're like, who is that?
We knew with Valus. We knew with Valus. Hey, that man said that. We all went.
I'm sorry, but I have no idea who this man is.
I was not familiar with your game. There's a reason why.
The best thing about this, though, is while every other team is imploding to some degree, for the first time in a long time, it ain't the Bears.
It ain't the Bears. The Bears are actually expanding, blowing up, moving in the right direction, becoming a real organization. My God, what is happening to the Chicago Bears? Now, hopefully we can win more than 3 games this year. Hey. Right? Like, hey, listen. Offseason wins sound great. I watched the Browns win a lot of offseasons. They ain't won a lot of football games.
Think about the last 5 years. Think about the last, like, just let's imagine this is 2027, 2026. Think about the 5 years. You go from not having a real vice president, a real football organization, to hiring that predominantly black at that.
Yeah.
Getting out of Chicago from those handcuffs, getting your own stadium and really making Chicago first class, the Chicago Bears a first class team in a 5-year turnaround. Man, if the Bears can do it, anyone can do it.
The league.
Use that as an example. Use that as a metaphor in life.
Chicago Bulls.
The league is better. When the Bears are good, the league is better when the Bears are good. So are just really better when the Bulls are good.
I don't know if the league is better when the Bears are good. I think we just like the league better when the Bears are good.
When all the major cities have good teams, the league is better.
Now that is true, but at this point, it's the NFL. Which city ain't a major city?
I don't want to diss nobody's town on here.
I mean, yeah, like, not
it's
even
a
that.
Couple of things I can
nah,
say.
I mean, like
Cleveland, come on, dog.
Who really want to go to Cleveland?
Listen, I can say the same thing about Kansas City.
Hey, Kansas City winning though.
Hey, but they got 2 Super Bowls.
They just so happened to win. But if they was trash, you know what we'd be saying?
That's how good Pat Mahomes is, bro. Muzz is out here like, hey, yo, I'm going to leave this real nice city and go to Kansas City.
If the Giants could just pull it together, maybe we'd have a chance. All right, that's the show right there. All right.
Hey man, appreciate y'all for showing love as always, man. Follow us on everything. All the socials. How about you make the playoffs? At 1P Kid for P Kid, man. We got at Stefan Adon 1. And of course, you can follow me at Pat the Designer. Ayo, Chicago. We appreciate you guys tuning in for another episode of The Daily Show every day from 9 to 10 ish o'clock. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Peace. 10-ish. 10. It's like.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.